We're glad to have everyone here. We have visitors here. We're very happy that you're in our presence. We're going to study a subject or talk about a subject that is very popular today in our society. I'm asking the question, is gambling a sin? Is that something that transgresses God's word? And I think we are living in a time where we probably say, a lot of people I know, they don't have a problem with gambling. That it's not a moral issue. A younger generation is coming up where they have so many ways in which they can gamble that maybe other generations we didn't have, especially over the internet, the type of gambling that can take place. Young men can be caught up in things that are fantasy football and baseball and golf and all sorts of different activities people do to be involved in the outcome. I think I'm going to bet on this. And we can do that privately, and we can get all involved in that. And a lot of people say, there's nothing wrong with that. I have extra cash. I may be a single man, a single girl, and I'm making money to provide for myself. This is just a way people go to show. I'd like to just put down money and maybe win something, and we get caught up in that. Again, is it sinful? Does it transgress God's law? Where has God explicitly said gambling is evil? That gambling is a sin. Kind of like the things with dancing. Where has God specifically condemned dancing? And we have to realize, no, there's some words of the works of the flesh, like lasciviousness, that the modern dance that people do and what they would like to accomplish in the dance, it would violate that. So why he's not explicitly saying gambling is wrong? We're going to look at principles. He said, oh, there he goes off in principles. And note that they're anchored in God's commands. Won't you listen to that? The principles that we're going to derive is something he's commanded us to be like, something we're supposed to do, things we're supposed to avoid. And gambling will fit in those areas where we can say, this indeed is what God wanted me to do. This is what my heart should be like. This is what my actions should be like. And therefore, that's why I can application. You can make that application. And our judgment has to be righteous. If we're going to condemn something, we need to make righteous judgments. It doesn't condemn judging. It condemns unrighteous judging, hypocritical judging, Matthew. So we're going to have to make righteous judgments in settling this issue for you and me tonight. And so there's obligation of me presenting the word, clearly presenting to you the commands that form principles that we can see what gambling is, what gambling is not, and maybe have an understanding of the subject. Majority of Americans say no to that question. That's the majority. And one thing that could be encouraging to me is that the percentage has gone down since 2001. So we ought to be happy. People have been listening to sermons, I guess. But 62% in the year 2001, remember back way back then, thought that gambling was not a problem. It was not a moral issue. Now only 50% think it's right. 62% thought it was right. And now 57% think it's okay. That's still a majority, is it? So we still have a battle of the minds, especially if God is condemning that. We don't want to go like the world is going. So we want to define our terms. Gambling is betting on the outcome of a future event when money or something of value is set at a stake at an outcome they predict. Now that's just a bunch of words, huh? But encyclopedias give those things, and you can read about what a definition of that is. Here's the outcome. Let me give you one. That by July the 31st, in that Persian Sea, that Strait of Hormuz is going to be open fully. You want to bet on that one? You can. There's the poly areas of political areas where you can bet on an outcome of a future event. It's just July 31st. What's the chance? It's only 2% chance that's going to happen. And there's 18 million riding on it. Not that you're going to get 18 million, But that's what everybody's going to look at. Is a certain man going to be in power at a certain time? All the politics. One U.S. serviceman has been captured and indicted. He won over $400,000 in predicting if the leader of Venezuela is going to be taken in a certain way. He had inside information. That's what they're getting him for. Because he knew when the attack was going to happen. And he collected $400,000. It's a pretty good deal, huh? He was betting on an outcome. And the only problem is he had insider trading. If he didn't, we'd be okay. No. Not if it contradicts God, God's word, and the principles we live by. But is money or something of value, $400,000 valuable to you? Is at stake at the outcome that they predict. And whatever they put up there, they're always wanting to get more. And that's the idea of feeding that sense of getting more than what I put up there, getting more than what I have. But that's what gambling by definition is. That I'm putting down money, I'm staking money, predicting an event is going to happen, and as they predict. Now, when we look at this, when the outcome is settled, the winner collects the loser's stakes. What money is available there on that particular subject? They get all. So there's people losing because they put up money. You'll be a loser if you don't predict the outcome that's taking place. But we never bet on something that we think we're going to lose. We think we're going to win. But that's what happens. It's the winner collects the loser's stakes. I'm going to show you, is that violating any commandment of God of how we should live? That's what we're driving at. An uncertain event is arbitrarily determined. July 31st, Federal Most will be clear again. By the end of this year, will the United States invade Iran by the end of 2027? Bet on it. You think it is, you think it's not. There's millions of dollars riding on that one right now. And people get caught up in doing that. It's an uncertain event, it's arbitrarily determined. We don't know how it's going to be, and all you get the odds, and you can follow that and get your heart thinking about that. Or you say, no, that's not for me. I'm going to say, I don't think God wants me to go that route. One risks money on something of value for a chance to win more than what he's being placed down as a risk. I put down $10 thinking I'm going to get $100. And there's that sense of that desire. Is that wrong? And where people are going to, they don't win the bet, they lose their stakes. It didn't matter. So that's what we're looking at with this idea of gambling as we define it. The winner wins at the expense of the loser. And what have they lost? They've lost something of value. And you won it. Is that okay? Gambling violates principles. I'm going to lay them down for you and for us to look at from God's word. Realizing they're etched in the command of God to do or not do. That will help us in this particular area. Let's talk about love. Love says, I'm supposed to love my enemies. I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. I'm supposed to love my husband, love my wife. I'm supposed to love my brethren. What does that mean? How can I love my brethren? And I'm supposed to love, same word, to love my enemy. It's because love is seeking the well-being of the other person. Seeking the well-being of the other person. Love is not merely a passion you have. I love ice cream, or I love food. I love her. I love him. And it's my emotions that we have. No, it's a desire. It has emotion connected with it, of seeking the well-being of another. I cannot like my enemy. We disagree, and they've done some horrible things. But I can love them. May I say, God says, you must love them. You must love them. If you're going to go into perfection as God is, you must love them, and you need to pray for them. And when we do that, we get off our knees praying for our enemies. You're going to feel different about that person than you did before you went to prayer. on their behalf. And we can ignore that, or we can follow that. Love is seeking the well-being of others. Lay down some scripture with that in Romans, the 13th chapter. Apostle Paul is looking at bringing the law of Moses to their inside of what these people have been through. You fulfill the law when you love your neighbor in verse 8. For then he says in verse 9, for thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. There be any other commandments, some of this word, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at that broad command, and look what is attached to that. I need to love my neighbor. If I love my neighbor, I fulfill the law in verse 8. And I need to love my neighbor as myself. What does that mean? I am not going to commit adultery with a man's wife, or vice versa. It's not going to happen. We got other passages say, well, that's wrong. Go to hell for adultery. But it's connection with loving my neighbor. It does him harm. It does her harm. And you don't have to be around people who have gone through divorce in a church. I remember years ago, just moving into a community and learning people. And before I got there, the preacher had run off with a woman in that church. And we knew, we saw the husband. I saw what he went through. And this preacher should have realized, what are you doing to that husband? Well, you're not loving that man. You wouldn't have been taken into adultery with his wife. But you're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to kill. That's not going to seek the well-being of the other. Thou shalt not steal. You're not going to take away his possessions. That's not doing good to that man, seeking their well-being. Is any other commandment? It is summed up in the word, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Am I working ill to my neighbor when I take the money? Well, he put it up, I know. But his kids and his wife may not appreciate that. He may have, I've seen the lottery and, I'm trying to just buy two bags of ice and I've got a big old line to go through the lottery, get the tickets, got to fill them out. And that, I hate that. But a lot of times these people are coming off the street and they don't have a lot going for them. And their clothes and their money, but they're getting down that little lottery ticket and so forth. And you realize if you win, who loses? These guys do. That is indeed what's going to happen. And so Galatians 6:10, where's Galatians 6 and then 6 and verse 10? Galatians 6 and verse 10 is that we're to do good to all men, not people of the household of faith, but all men. We're always do that which is good, seeking their well-being. Love is demanded, but it comes a principle that I think gambling violates. And when you want to ignore that, you see the people that are in poverty, they're trying to win it all in a lottery. And while the lottery tickets go up. But what's so sad, usually you have a chance between 1 and 12 to 14 million that you're going to win. It's been said that the chance of being struck by lightning is 1.9 million. So 6 times more you're going to get struck with lightning than you're going to win that lottery ticket. But I just may win it one time. That's all it is. I'll hit the big time, and we keep coming back. And what's happening, what all the stakes you put up there, someone's going to win that. And that someone may be me. And therefore, have I shown love? Because I said, gambling's not wrong, but this is total gambling. Putting down money of value for an outcome that is by chance, and that the winner takes all the stakes. That's not love for people, others. Secondly, covetousness. Colossians 3:5 said covetousness is idolatry. What it means, why is that idolatry and everything else, about idols? Why do you say it's idolatry? Because it's the God that we're serving. And whatever that is demanded to please that God, which is, I want more and more and more and more. having that lust for other things. That feeds my greed and addiction. So I guess if I want a raise, I'm guilty of covetousness? Not necessarily. Well, that's an argument given. You talk about covetousness. You want a raise? You want to improve your status in life with more money? And that's covetousness? No. It's not. Well, what? Yeah, I work for a living and I want to make more. No, what John said, you be content with your wages. You soldiers, be content with your wages. Don't cry out and extort tax money. Publicans are already getting that. But don't you do that by your sword. So what am I doing? What is contentment? Contentment is not being happy of my state in life. It's not being happy. That's what we think contentment is. Now, I can't think of a better illustration. But the cow that makes all these ice cream, those cows are always smiling. Those are contented cows that we make our ice cream. Not too far from here. We always think contentment is happiness. No, it means sufficient. I may be under a street with in a big city, and I got a box, and I got a blanket, and I got McDonald's. Somebody just dropped off a meal for me from McDonald's. Can I be content? Yeah. Can I be thankful? Tonight, I have covering, they gave me a blanket, and they gave me some food. But I don't want to stay that way. Oh, you need to be content. Contentment is self-sufficiency, but Paul puts it, I'm sufficient in Christ. In him, I'm sufficient to do all things. And I can be content with little. I can be content with much. Doesn't mean I'm happy with my state in life. And I can't wish for a better salary. No. But covetousness is that greed that feeds that addiction that we become the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some seeking after that has ruined themselves. That's different. They want to improve my salary so I can help my family. And we have to work through that. But covetousness, in Luke the 12th chapter and verse 15, Jesus is speaking, and he speaks about a farmer and how this farmer is foolish. But this point is, and that's his illustration, the reason this subject has come up is somebody wanted to make sure the inheritance that his siblings had that would be divided evenly. And that's what brought attention up. And Jesus says, "Did man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" He said, "Take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness." There's your command. What's the principle I'm talking about? I'm talking about a principle that comes from the keep yourself from all covetousness. Is gambling based upon greed to get more and then to get more and to get more? And when the stakes get real high, that's when we're coming. That's when we're going to come. We're going to get in that lottery. You begin to see a distinction. Keep yourselves from all covetousness, for man's life consists of not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he gave a parable. And he gave a parable of a farmer. And preacher, are you going to go there? Are you going to be consistent now? You're going to talk about gambling is risky? Yeah. What about farming? What about farming? Did Jesus condemn the farmer for taking a risk? For wanting to tear down his barns and build greater ones. Was that the issue that condemned the foolish farmer? Making more. Farming is risky, yes. But when he wins, everybody can win. Nobody has to lose. That's not what he's getting at. He's getting at covetousness, which is all about me. And notice how Jesus says it. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou foolish one, this night as thy soul required of thee, and the things which thou shalt prepare, they shall be, because you should never take a risk. No. That's what condemns get. No, it doesn't. Farming is risky. Let's make a righteous judgment on that farmer in the pathway that God helps us think. And he said, well, you're foolish, what? It's going to be taken from you? And then who's it going to be? Who's it going to be in charge of there? Which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be? Ecclesiastes said maybe somebody's a fool will get what you have when you die. So life becomes kind of tough to deal with. But you've got to realize that. Here's the application Jesus makes. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Bigger barns. What's his heart like? I want to give more glory to God. Thank you, God. And I can give more back to you. It's the covetousness. It's that desire to want more and more and more. It feeds greed. And it becomes addictive. It's not sinful here. Gambling is not sinful because risks are involved. And farming is not being condemned here because it's risky. It's because a man's heart was that he wanted more and more and said, here, you want your inheritance. Does that mean inheritance is wrong? He said, just keep yourself from all covetousness. Because inheritance, covetousness can raise its ugly head, can it? Oh, we'll all divide everything alike, and all of a sudden, not so quick. I want this. I want that. Which they promised it to me. I don't care. We're going to fight over that. What's that meaning? It's I want my way instead of seeking the well-being of others. Covetousness is a big problem. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, we get addicted to things. We're not to let anything have power over us. That's M&Ms. That's food. Not just candy. It's ice cream. Our things become addicted to us. We got to realize, I can't allow that to control me. I can't wake up at 3 in the morning and say, I got to go get a Coke. I might want to think about something a little bit. Am I addicted to sugar? What are you going to try to deal with that? I cannot be in control of anything. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. And it was in the context is that I have desires for sex, therefore I commit fornication? No. I have desire for food, that's natural. So I can be addicted to types of food. Things of that, nope, we can't do that. Not to have anything control us as we're serving our God. That's a command, and that's the standard we got to live by. And so when something has us under control, why do they have Gamblers Anonymous? I don't know if anybody has Fishermen Anonymous. And people get addicted to that too. They want to go fishing all the time. But the problem is that this is very addictive. Getting something for just a little doubt and getting big is what majority of the people in the world say it's okay. Covetousness is a principle that we've got to stay away from. What about stewardship? He's brought up the example, 1.9 million times you have a chance of being hit by lightning. But 1 in 12 to 14 million that you're going to win the lottery. Is putting money up there, is that a good steward of what God has blessed you with? Steward means I'm being faithful with what God has blessed me with. And we see this in the principle is being set forth in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and in verse 2. Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ, stewards of the mystery of God, mysteries of God. We're stewards. We've been appointed by God to preach the gospel, unlocking the mystery, the salvation that comes unto the world. And that's how we're supposed to conduct our lives, to be good stewards of the things he's blessed us with. In Luke 12 and verse 42, Peter said, "The Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, even as unto us all." And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise steward, whom the Lord shall set over his household to give to them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when the Lord shall find so doing," when the Lord comes back again. Peter said, "You're talking about somebody else, you're talking about us." And he includes Peter. "You give me a good steward. And you just do what you're supposed to do." And setting forth the things that serve God. We're to do that with the blessings we have in 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. All the things we receive of God's grace, we're to be stewards of that, all to the glory of God. Peter says it this way in verse 10. "According to each as has received a gift, ministering among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." If you're going to speak, preacher, you speak as the oracles of God. That's what glorifies God. You're supposed to be a steward. You're supposed to be faithful to that cause. Well, we've been blessed. God blesses us with riches as he did the Old Testament people. Are we stewards of what God has blessed us with? In 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, when people, the reason they could give liberally is that God will increase your ability to give. He will add that ability to have more so you can give. God blesses us that way. But am I a good steward? Say, "Well, I know you've given me this, but I'm going to use it this way." Can you say that betting on something of outcome, and whatever that may be, and putting money that God's blessed you with at risk for something that, yeah, it's risky. Yes, it's going to harm others if I win. That's being a good steward. Is that the way God wants his blessings on you to be used? I think not. Am I being a good steward? Here's what I get as an income, and I need to provide for my family. I'm going to use that for gambling because I have a right to have some recreation. And then get addicted to it and all those things. These are things we have to remember. The fourth one is the golden rule. I think it emphasizes, eliminates every one of them, of the things about gambling. But in Matthew 7 and verse 12, you have different translations put it differently. But I just said, "Do unto others what you would that they do unto you." And Jesus says this in the American Standard, verse 12. "All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you." So there is your thinking. How would I like to be treated in this situation? "All things therefore whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, you do that unto them." So I'm thinking about, this is the golden rule. I'm to live by this. I'm thinking about this in every situation I go through. How would I like people to treat me? That's called the golden rule. Did you know every major religion has something like that? I said it's like that. But it's never put it this way. Don't do unto others that which you wouldn't want to have done to you. There's some of the major religions, Judaism, Islam. Don't do unto others that you don't like happen to you. That's not what Jesus says. He says, how I would like to be treated, how would that be? I don't want to lose my money. Then I'm going to have the attitude, we don't want anybody to lose their money, so we ain't gambling. I will do that to others. You want your money to be lost? No, he doesn't either. So you'll act accordingly. That eliminates gambling. Because someone loses. And when we begin to realize that those are the principles we're to live by, that's where I think gambling violates the principles of God and therefore is sinful. Gambling is not merely taking a risk. Driving a car, and I think everyone knows this. If not, you just haven't got your driver's license yet. Driving a car is risky. That's why I'm going to get me one that it drives itself. Well, that seems like right now it's kind of risky too. It can run through stop signs and speed zones and all that. So that's going to have to be worked on a while. But that way, it's not risky. I'm going to sit back here and it's going to drive me. And a lot of you young people, that's probably going to be a way of life for you down the road. And I'm going to feel sorry for you because you never got to realize what a joy it is to drive a car and you be in control. But it's risky, so we don't do it. Starting a business is risky. That's sinful. Operating a farm is risky. We've already seen God didn't condemn farming. He said you ought to be able to eat from the things that you grow. It's risky. Oh, there's things by chance. It's risky and it's by chance. You don't know what the weather's going to be like. Yeah, let some farmers tell you what that's like. And sometimes they lose their crops and sometimes they don't have much. Sometimes they do. But God has never condemned farming because of risk. He condemned a farmer because of his covetousness and his thinking about himself instead of the glory of God. But see, no one's going to lose when you succeed as a farmer. Yes, it's risky. Business is risky. It may not work out the way you want to, but you're the one that's going to lose. Other people that are invested in that, they don't. And that's what I think what makes the difference. Just because something is a risk, and it goes through the idea of taking a risk with stocks and so forth. Yes, that's risky. Yeah, there's a chance it may not work. But we've got to understand the difference in that. What about winning a prize in a sweepstakes? Gambling is not that. I guess you can make it that. But usually the thing, hey, you want to sign a card? We got a free gift coming. And sometimes they say, well, you need to buy a subscription. Well, I need that magazine. I bought a service that's right on target. I'm not going to lose anything for that. I bought a service. But there's no bet wagered on the outcome. I'm going to win it. You just signed and they draw out and you get a prize. And it's being backed by companies who want some advertisement. The world rolls on. They get what they wanted out of that, but no earn a certain outcome. You don't have to wager anything of value. You can win that, but it'll be by chance. Is that what makes gambling wrong? No. That's involved in that, but the principles we talked about is what makes it wrong. Receiving gain by chance, that is unrighteous because you need to work. And the labor that God wants us to do is to work with our hands so we'll provide for others. If a man will not work, neither let him eat. Let him eat. God has stressed work. And that you're earning a salary, you're producing something of value, and you're getting paid for that. Receiving any gain by chance is sinful. That's gambling. Really? What about inheritance? Is that sinful? Remember Luke 12? It started out. A man said, I want my brother to divide this thing evenly. And Jesus says, I want to guard you of a bigger problem. That's not a problem. The bigger problem is covetousness. It doesn't mean by the things you possess. Don't get caught up in that. And the farmer, yes, it was risky. But the point is, he wasn't rich toward God with the blessings he could receive. Inheritance is by chance. I didn't pick my parents. I loved them. I loved them, and they were great parents. And I thought growing up, my parents were very special. Thought my dad was just outstanding. But we realized that how did you get in their family? Well, I didn't choose it. I don't know how it happened, but there were two baby boys died before I came along. And I've often thought about that. One looking back over their papers after my parents have died, there was one, they put my dad's name on. He died quickly after birth, and one of them lived a few hours and then died. And I've noticed back in that day that was happening a lot. And they had medicine that helped ladies have their babies. So I came along, my sister comes along. But I didn't choose that, didn't choose the situations. How come I'm here and my two brothers never made it? Well, it's kind of a chance for my, is that, now I have their inheritance. Is that sinful? Gaining something, I didn't work for it. See, judge righteous judgment. It's not the part of gaining something by chance. It is the fact that we're risking money and other people lose and it harms other people is what we see. That's the golden rule taking care of gambling. But inheritance by chance, Jesus is not condemning that. And we need to recognize that. But gambling is the lottery. All who win do so at the expense of the losers. In the last few years, the GGR, these are the money that's lost by the gamblers, is what they lose. They're betting a lot of money through the years. And it's gone up every year. But we're looking at, you know, $72 billion with a B of gambling taking place. This is how much they've lost. That didn't sound like good stewardship, but you divide it over all the United States, maybe that's not a big deal to everyone. But that lottery is setting forth that you have everybody wanted that, and the stakes go higher and higher, and you better get on this. Radio tells you better get on that one. Just a little bit lottery ticket. But the ones who lose, the one who gained that, and what has that abundance done to you? Did it help you? Why do you have so many people win the lottery and they spend it all, and suicide rate goes up among them? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, but some reaching after it, they destroyed themselves. Money can do that. We got to have a right attitude toward it. But lottery is something someone does lose when you win. That's not love. That's not seeking the goodwill of another. That's not doing unto others as you would have them do to you. It's not doing that. Well, I'm not greedy. Well, that's covetousness, but there's the other points you miss. And that's why gambling is the lottery. It's a community raffle ticket, too. Through the years, I've been asked by people, especially with schools, public schools, how they gain their money, and they want you to get a raffle ticket. That means you're putting money there, and the stakes that grow up, you can win that. And they may put a prize on that. I could give my money to the school without having to make it a gambling thing. But that becomes the nature of that. All the other participants lose their wager. And we realize, I can't do that. Because that's part of gambling. Other people are going to lose because they put up money in order to have that. And so I'm just thinking from those standpoints of what gambling is and what it's not, of love and stewardship and covetousness and the golden rule. Those are etched in commands of what we're to do and what we're to avoid. And while gambling is not explicitly mentioned or condemned or talked about, those teachings are there. And we follow the teachings of God. And I'm just thankful I see the wisdom of God when all of the religions, major religions, they got a golden rule and it still wasn't what Jesus said. Positive. What I would have others do to me, that's what I do. I'm thinking about that, this is what I do. And that'll keep me from gambling. And it'll keep me from the things that go along with that as well. Tonight, I hope that's helped us in making our decision, teaching our family, because we're going to be around gambling for quite a while. It may go down another 2%, may go up with how people feel about it. But this is the principles of God that we live by. And we'll be better off. We'll be able to give as we prosper, do good unto others as we have opportunity. We can share what we have. We can be good stewards of what we earn. and in order to help others as well, and live our life the way we should, not being under the power of anything but the will of God. Tonight, if you're not a Christian and we can help you become one, let us have that opportunity. Come as we stand and as we sing.